the objective of this workshop is to get you guys to hear. Okay? This whole thing is about story. All right, but how do we get there? I mean, what is the fundamental, the basic unit of visual and oral information that we use to construct a story? What is it? We just talk about it. What do these look like?
Clips.
These are clips.
20-second clips.
These are 20-second clips. You got one channel of audio, of video, and you have audio one and audio two, okay? These are the bricks that we use to construct the building, okay? These are the, you know, every building, you know, has its basic components, the smallest unit. This is a brick house, so the bricks are about this big. I work in a thing called the School of Communication at American University. The fundamental building blocks are pieces of stone that are about this big, okay? You know, the Empire State Building is made of bricks. You know, it's got, I don't know how many stories, but they start off with bricks like this, okay? That's the same way we build story. So we start with clips that are minimum, when you go out and shoot them, 20 seconds long. You probably won't use all of those 20 seconds when you build your final story because it's too boring unless something really gets compelling in there, happening in there. If we combine a bunch of clips together, we make what? Chad?
A story.
Not yet. We're not there yet, man. This is way up here. We got
a sequence.
We have a sequence.
Okay.
We have a sequence. We got a sequence. If we combine various sequences together, what do we make? Karen?
Scenes.
We make scenes. What we have here, we have a very, very neat, finite scene, okay? You know, it goes from that wall over there to this wall, back to that wall to here. It goes from the ceiling to the floor. It's a finite, it's a well-defined scene. We've got 12 or 13 people in here. We've got all of these elements in here. Our job is to figure out, again, going back to the analogy, we're going to do a documentary about this workshop, this four-day workshop, okay? We're going to come back to the scene time and time again. We're going to go out this afternoon. We're going to come back to it tomorrow. We're going to show up here in the morning. We're going to go out. We're going to come back. So we're going to have versions of the scene over and over again. But where, if we're going to build a story about this workshop, and we're going to use chapters, if you will, okay, different scenes, right? Where do we start here? Where do we start here? What do we start shooting? Chad's got a camera. What does he shoot first? Did he shoot an extra close-up of me?
The establishing shot.
Does he do an establishing shot first? All right, what does he do second?
Maybe a character. Figure out who your character is early.
Ooh. You figure out who your characters are. Okay. Along, maybe it takes a while to do that. It took me several hours to figure out, you know, my guys in Chain Gang. Okay. Along the way, after I figured out who didn't want to be characters and who was going to punch me in the nose if I tried to make him a character, right? Or if I tried to film him. Along the way, I've got to figure out what are the visually defining characteristics of this place. The visually defining characteristics of this place. I've got to deconstruct this scene here so that I can shoot it, those components, and I can reconstruct this scene and make it a chapter of the film. Okay? These clips, we can call them words if we want to. These sequences, we can call them sentences if we want to. These scenes, we can call them paragraphs if we want to. This story is, it could be a book, it could be a magazine piece, it could be a documentary, it could be, you know, whatever you want to call it, all right? But this is the progression from these tiny little bricks to the big building that we're trying to put together, okay? So where do we start to, along the way to figuring out who the characters are, we have to shoot what? We got to shoot what? What are the visually defining characteristics of this scene? The instructor, the students, what else?
The location, the place.
You mean the room?
I mean the context in which the character.
But what's here? What's here? What do we shoot? What do we make pictures of? How do we describe this place visually? If you, when you call your a friend or a relative tonight, you're going to say, I was at this first day of the workshop, and she's going to say, "Oh, really? What did it look like when you were there?
Well,
what do you tell
her?" The tools that you're using. I mean, the video screen.
The screen.
The
board that I'm writing on.
Yeah.
What else?
The camera.
We got cameras around. What else?
The desks.
The desk. We have. What else? What's on the desk?
Computers.
You got loads of computers around. You have a bunch of gear. Leonard, what else are we seeing?
People. Coffee.
All right, yeah. Right, yeah, and believe me, and we're going to see a lot of it during the workshop. What else?
The people, the students.
You got people. You got terrific faces here. You know, all kinds of colors and all kinds of ages and so forth. You've got these arrows that come from the Amazon above the back door there. You have a 100-year old statue of Jesus. You've got, you know, this stuff from Africa here. You've got wires all over the floor. You know, cases of stuff. You've got all of this stuff. Okay, so you got to. These are the things you have to make pictures of. These are the things that you saw in Chain Gang: the ankles, the tightness of the bracelets around their ankles. You saw the chains being pulled out of the boxes. You saw the chains being dragged across the ground. You saw, you know, the guy's hands hanging out of the bars. You saw all this stuff close up. You saw, you know, the guys lifting weights and so forth. Once you decide what are the things that are important here, what are the visually defining characteristics, you make pictures of them, 20 seconds apiece, so that we can put them together. We can paint the scene. We can reconstruct the scene in your final piece. Okay, let's assume that Kalpana is going to be one of the characters in the film. Okay, she's from a different country. She has a wonderful accent. You know, all of the stuff. She's compelling. She has an interesting story to tell. She wants to be a character. She passed the three-point test. She wants to be a character. She has a compelling story, and she's articulate. Okay, so let's assume that we pick Kalpana to be one of the characters. So we start. What do we do here? We start. What clips do we start to build this thing with? And here's where we get to the core of what I want you guys to pay attention to today when you're out there shooting. And it's called the six-shot system. Where is it in your manual? Page 40, the six-shot system. You don't have to read that now, but let's take a look at what this thing looks like, because the six-shot system is going to be a very, very important tool for all of you people who are heading out to the field to make your documentaries, to make these visual pieces. It's an approach. It's a technique. It's a way. It's a manner and an approach designed to make sure you generate the material that you need to be able to put visually compelling stories together. Okay, so it's pretty simple. It's 1 through 6. And again, you know, these video pieces are all about question and answer. They're all about discussion. It's not just about gathering information, but it's about gathering compelling information and having a discussion with you, even if the discussion is verbal and implicit, as opposed to just gathering information and throwing it at you. So what the six-shot system is designed to do is designed to help you to generate compelling information so that you can carry on this conversation with your audience. And the first shot of the six-shot system generally is this. Will you pretend that you're writing something, or in fact, write whatever you want? Okay? So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to shoot this, as I say, a minimum how long?
20 seconds.
It's going to be 20 seconds. So if I show an audience this, right, it may be at the beginning, maybe at the middle of a documentary, maybe wherever, there's a question that's implicit here. What am I asking the audience?
What's she doing?
What's she doing?
What's
what
going
else?
On? Who is it?
All of those things, right? Okay, so that's the question. And that's the first shot of the six-shot system. Okay? How do I answer that question?
Show your face.
I show her face. Beautiful. Thank you. So if I show her face, and you know what? And again, I don't want to do everything from this perspective. You know, I don't want to show this, and then something else. I've got to move around, you know? So if I'm going to show her face, I want to compose the picture in a compelling way. Maybe I want to show it like this, and I want to do a close-up of her face. And maybe I even want to include a piece of the computer, because we know that she's writing on a computer, don't we? We saw that she's writing on something. So I'll include a little bit of that, and I'll have a couple of layers of information here. And I'll shoot 20 seconds of this. So we've got two shots here of the six-shot system, okay? One of her hands and one of her face. We assume that the hands that we saw belong to the face that I just showed you. But who knows? Maybe, maybe not. So just to confirm that they do belong to the same person, because I'm probably not going to show this, then that, right? Doesn't make too much sense. So I'll show something that looks, here's the answer to that question, and it looks like this. And here's the third shot of the six shot system.
You can change angle.
Sorry?
You can change the point of view, but you don't need to stand the same.
No, I mean, what I don't want to do is this. I mean, I think this is really boring. If I'm going to go, if I'm going to shoot a close-up of this, and then a close-up of that, and then a wide shot of this, and then the next shot is going to be a medium shot of that, rather, and then the next shot is going to be a wide shot, you know, all shot from the same point of view is really boring, don't you think? You know, if I give, you know, if I really want this thing to be dynamic, I'm going to do a close-up of that. I'm going to shoot a close-up of that. I'm going to shoot a medium shot, maybe of her eye level, or a little bit above her eye level.
But you should be on the same side.
Right. You're not going to come over here.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to go to the other side, because that can get very confusing. And then I'm going to shoot a wide shot of this, because if I show the close-up, then a close-up, and the medium shot, the question becomes what? Not do the hands belong to the face, but the question becomes what? Where is she, no? Where is she? So to give her some context, I do a wide shot of this, and I include, oh, okay, there are other people in the room. I got it. And there's a guy with a camera there. Must be some kind of a classroom or something. So I've got a close-up of the hands, close-up of the face, medium shot of the person, wide shot of the person. What's next?
Over the shoulder.
Over the shoulder. Ah. So oh, wow. I'm going to go over here. So all this is starting to make sense now. Okay, I'll shoot this. I'll shoot this because then we see what she's writing. We know it's her writing. Maybe we'll see what she's writing on. And if I'm really slick, I'll go over this side. And I'll shoot over her shoulder, but who's going to be standing over there?
You
introducing the new character.
Me. Or introducing the other central character. I'm going to be the central character. The professor's going to be standing over there, and she's going to be shooting, you know, this person's going to be shooting the character. So all of a sudden, we have her. We've just done a sequence of her, but we've connected her visually to another character. And the way you get you develop your characters is you get other people to talk about those characters. You include them, you know, in the same shots. So we get a sense of, okay, these people are interconnected here. There's some kind of, they're in the same room. They're doing the same thing. They're together. Okay. So we have five shots now. What's the last shot?
The establishing shot.
It's the establishing shot. So I'm going to go over here as far as I can into the corner. Maybe I have a wide angle lens for this thing. Maybe I don't. I'll go into this corner and shoot over here. I'll go into that room over there and shoot this way, especially if I have a you know, if I can get back there and shoot this way and I can include her and me again in the picture, that marries us together again, okay? That establishing shot establishes that, okay, Gentile is here, Kapana's there, and then after we do another sequence with Chad, we go, oh, okay, I got it. All this stuff is in the room.
But this is you as professor, not the film guy, because you were never in the chain gang. Your picture was never in it.
Right, right. No, yeah, I mean...
See what I mean?
Intentionally so.
Right.
Yeah, but you heard me in chain gang, and you saw the six-shot system in chain gang, although you didn't recognize it because I didn't include... Think of the sequence or the scene. Remember in the courtyard when the guys were out there exercising? You know, there's one guy with a grate and he's pulled it up like this. And then there's another guy with another grate, he's like this. Mm-hmm. And one of my main characters is talking about doing push-ups and so forth. I did this same six-shot system with all of those guys, but I only used the most powerful shots. Okay? Mm-hmm. The fact that I had all of this material gave me the luxury. I could select only the most powerful images to tell the story. But I did the six-shot system on probably three or four people, including my main character, one of my main characters. Robbie in that prison yard. Am I answering your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. Of course, I'm not gonna be there because you know the story wasn't about me in the chain gang, but the documentary here certainly is about me with you in this workshop. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's, and the last shot would be the establishing shot in which I show everybody, okay, I'm not only going to show you, you and me here, but we're going to show Jesus hanging on the wall, we're going to show the fireplace, we're going to show the computers. You know, I might do something like this really cool to show you guys, you know, wow, there's wires running all over the place, you know. It's you know, it's really, wait till you see this place Sunday night. If you think it looks confusing, chaotic now, Sunday night is going to be really, really exciting. Does everybody get this progression from clip to sequence to scene to story? You have to think of this stuff. You have to envision this stuff as this progression from these tiny bits of information to a complete story. Okay? Does anybody have any questions? As I go along here, we talked a couple of steps back. I'll get to you in a second, Campana. We talked a couple of steps back about this participatory observation, okay? And to achieve that participatory observation, we do it through two ways. We do it through informal interviews, and we do it through formal interviews. And it very much depends on the kind of story you're telling. I mean, you know, when I was, I'll show you guys during this the course of this workshop. A piece that I did in Afghanistan. Some of you may have seen it. I was in Afghanistan with a bunch of Marines, and I talked to these guys at very, very specific and opportune times, very, very strategic moments. And I say, you know, tell me what's going on here. And that, you know, they told me that we're doing this. We took some fire from these guys here. I'm sending a platoon of guys down there, and they tell the story to me, for you, as we go along. And in some cases, I may want the prison warden to take me around the prison and say, this is what we do here, this is what we do there, and blah, blah, blah. That's another technique of drawing this thing out. It's all about this participatory observation concept. And what I do is I ask people questions, either in an informal setting or a formal setting. And what I want you guys to do today when you go out there, I want you to start engaging people on an informal basis. I don't want you to do sit-down interviews today. We're going to cover that tomorrow morning. I'll give you plenty of information and ammunition to be able to do that tomorrow. Today, I want you to do informal interviews. Which is one way to achieve this participatory observation. An informal interview consists of three questions, basically. Okay? And the first question is, what are you doing? And this sounds very, very simplistic, I know that, but if I'm doing a sequence on Kalpana, because I know she's gonna be one of my characters, I'm gonna ask her, when she's writing, I'm gonna say, Kalpana, what are you doing? And she's gonna respond, well, I'm writing an email to my boss, or whatever, okay? Or I'm taking notes on this workshop about what he's saying here, okay? And that becomes something very, very usable in your final product. You know, you can include my question or not, but Kalpana turns the camera and says, I'm writing something about this workshop. It's really boring to this point. I hope something changes here, because if not, I'm going to ask for my money back. That's a hell of a clip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
it's also a lot better than his point where you lead. He said it's annoying when you lead the question. You know, hey, are you working on a documentary? Are you making notes? You know what I mean?
You don't do that.
You don't do it. Yeah. This is an open-ended question.
Right. You just say, what are you doing? So that's one way that I try to engage the audience with what's happening here. The second question I ask, what did you just do? Okay? Maybe she, you know, stops writing, and I say, Kalpana, what did you just do? Oh, I'm writing a piece about this workshop that's really boring, and I think I want my money back, and I want to go home. You know, and that you can use that, right? And the third question, it's all logical now, the third question is what? What are you going to do? And that way you can you know, signal something, a change in the piece, what your characters are going to do. In the Afghanistan piece that I'll show you, I asked the lieutenant, you know, what's happening now? Or what are you going to do now? We're going to send some people down the road here. We're going to do so on and so forth. So you ask these guys these three questions. What are you doing? What did you just do? What are you going to do? And they will tell you and your audience the story so that you don't have to write this stuff in. You want your characters, you want your subjects to tell the story. You don't want to tell the story yourself. Can you articulate your controlling idea? The controlling idea is, do you have a pearl necklace?
Yes.
You do. And what holds the pearls together?
String.
Is it cloth, nylon, wire?
Yes.
Just call it nylon. if someone grabs your necklace and jerks it and breaks that nylon, what happens to the pearls?
They fall on the floor.
They fall on the floor. So the pearls cease to be a necklace. Mm-hmm. If that wire breaks, they become just a bunch of pearls laying on the floor. It's no longer a necklace, is it? That's what your controlling idea does. Your controlling idea holds together these pearls of visual and aural information, and they make it into a story with a beginning and a middle and an end. That's your controlling idea. We're going to talk a lot about controlling idea, okay? Without the controlling idea, and I've seen pieces like this because some of my students hand them in a lot, they don't have, there's no controlling idea, there's no consistency, it's not coherent, and there's no structure. Okay.
What was it for the chain gang? Just the chain gang concept running through that whole thing?
Yeah, I think so. The idea was to explain this, you know, this new practice that was adopted by the state of Alabama and how it affects prisoners and the people who keep them in prison. You know, that was the controlling idea.
Yeah.
So I'm always asking these guys, you know, is it effective? Is this going to keep you from doing it again? You know, what are the conditions like here? You know, asking the guys who run the place, you know, what's the impact on these prisoners? How's it running? All that. Okay. That's the controlling idea. What I want to get from you guys today before you go out, I want to get, a sense of your controlling ideas. Okay. What I need from you guys now, let's continue this conversation. If everybody can give me, you know, I tell my students all the time, if you can't articulate your controlling idea in one single declarative sentence, then you've got to do some work on it. So, you know, I always start the sentence off with, you know, my documentary shows, or my documentary explores, or my documentary explains. And if you can finish that sentence about your project, you're in good shape, because you'll know which questions to ask. You'll know what questions not to waste your time on when you're out there. You'll know what images to look for. You've got to have a really clear idea of this controlling idea. Otherwise, you will end up, you know, as Anne says, with just the pearls laying on the floor. They might be great, you know, pieces of jewelry, great pearls, but they're not going to be a necklace. You're not going to come back with a necklace. And I want all of you to come back with necklaces. So Kalpana, my documentary explores.
My documentary explores how a grocery store, an Afghan grocery store, becomes the anchor of an immigrant and uprooted community.
Terrific. I mean, you know, you identify a character, a few characters there. They tell their story about why this place, this market has become a place of community for us, why we come here for all our needs. We can't get, Afghan goods. Or items that we use in Afghanistan, anywhere else in the city. We come here, we make friends. I come here, I feel at home. All of these things, and it builds up, you know, this sense of you know, it fortifies your controlling idea. Very good. So in a sense, the market itself becomes the central character, and the other characters are peripheral characters, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So you're onto this. Terrific. Okay, Anne.
A Syrian immigrant and his journey from Arabic instructor to restaurateur, his connection with his homeland and what it means for him to share his culture with America.
Okay, you're spread pretty thin there, but you know, when you go out to, and this almost always happens, we'll go out into the field and we'll probe around, we'll ask the questions and so forth, and the idea will crystallize and it'll become sharper in focus. When we're out there, you know, we're paying attention, we're asking these questions, and, you know, and it begins to really take shape and take form. That's what all this is about. Sometimes you go out there and you find out, oh my God, you know, this isn't the story that I thought it was at all, you know? And sometimes it's very, very close to what you initially thought it was. Karen?
Two people who met during World War II in the Navy, one in the waves and one a submariner. Get married, and now they are working on putting together a Maryland Memorial Veterans Museum down in Southern Maryland. So it's kind of their story about them coming together. I'm going to try and get them down at the U.S. Navy Memorial. Kind of have that as the setting, the background. Here's the beginning, and now their life story is that now they're trying to capture and recognize all veterans.
Okay, we talked about this the other night on the phone when Bruce and I and Brad called you, and I think the story, we talked about this being a love story.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, so I think your documentary explores how, you know, two, you know, the love between two people begins during conflict, the conflict of World War II, and ends with the construction of a monument dedicated to all American veterans, something like that.
Right.
You know, but you're basically telling a love story, aren't you?
Yes, that's what you helped me clarify that. So
okay, good.
Having
good.
Them bring
this is what this is all about. You know, we kick these ideas around, and you listen to other people's evaluations of them. As we get into the production and post-production phases, we're going to be looking at how the stuff looks, and we'll be counting on all of you to contribute to these ideas and critiquing and so forth in constructive ways, so that, you know, we are each other's audience here. We're figuring out, you know, what resonates, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense.
But my concern is that I don't have them here today, I have them tomorrow. So today it's going to be more capturing those images down there that reflect World War II.
Close-ups.
Yes.
Names, you know, any plaques, anything like that, the flag, you know, the building itself, you know, get all of those close-ups, walk up to the place and say, okay, what's important here? And if you pay attention to where your eyes go, your eyes are pretty smart. They will operate by themselves. They're gonna look around, and first they're gonna gauge, okay, this is where I am, and this looks safe. I can walk over here. I should stay away from this. You know, oh, this is interesting. Just listen, pay attention to them, and they're gonna tell you what you have to shoot. Bring a tripod with you, because if you're shooting something that's immobile, you know, like a plaque, like a monument, whatever, it's gotta be rock solid, okay? Mm-hmm. Leonard.
So I've kind of reformatted since we talked the other night on the phone, and I don't know if I told you guys about it. So I am actually doing something work related. It's I'm highlighting a program office called the Historian Project, which, if you know anything about TSA, it was actually founded after 9/11. It's not a very popular agency. But it's developed a program to better inform its employees about both its inception, but also open up lines of communication about its origins, but also its future. So it's sort of just highlighting the initiative and its value inside of the structure of the agency.
What is it? And I'll ask you guys this a lot. What does the piece look like?
We
talk about what's going to happen here.
Yeah, there are some visually supporting elements. There's a large wooden warehouse where they store a lot of archival material. So there's kind of an Indiana Jones vibe there with the big warehouse.
Can you make pictures of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get that today. And they actually have pieces of the World Trade Center and the magnetometers that the terrorists walked through on the 9/11. So there's that undercurrent there of you know, that the, you know, it harkens back to that very terrible imagery, and I don't think we're going to show that, but it is something to support it.
When you go out there, you know, you guys should, I want you to start jumping into post-production when you're actually out there shooting. Think about those timelines, okay? The beginning of the piece, you always start these pieces with the most powerful visual material that you have. So, you know, you put the most powerful stuff in, even if you have to back into the story from there. You've got 8 seconds, 10 seconds, 12 seconds to engage people before they go, this is boring, I'm out of here, okay? So, you know, think about what's the most powerful stuff. Think about what comes at the end of the piece, and think about what it looks like in the middle. You know, you've got to start forming. I want you all to start thinking visually now, which is a very, very different way of thinking than, you know, a text way of thinking or a thematic way of thinking. Rhett, tell me about your project.
Okay. So the I think the story is kind of the homebrewer's dream of starting your own craft brewery and turning that into a profitable business. You know, what are the funny stories, what are the challenges, that sort of thing.
Did you make connections with Brad's colleagues?
Actually, Brad did. So I was in on the emails to his colleague or his contact.
So you hooked up with these people?
Not yet. He says that they're brewing Friday, and he says that they're interested in talking.
So you're going to go out there today and talk?
Gonna try to. I actually have a potential interview at 2:30 with another successful brewer. I'm gonna try and get from him kind of like the trials and tribulations and what did it take to make it to where he is, which is very, very stable, very profitable. you know, and maybe use him as a, you know, this is the voice of someone who's successful. These guys are, you know, are passionate. They're making it.
Okay.
You know, hopefully they'll get to this point where they're, you know.
Okay. What do we see at the beginning of the piece?
Possibly one of the brewers looking in one of the kettles that's steaming or something like that. But it's kind of like there's a scaffolding typically between like a mash tun and the brewing kettle that's kind of quote the altar of any brew house. And typically they'll be up there either adding hops to, you know, or they're watching how the, you know, the whirlpool is going, or they're watching how the mashing is going.
You know, I free associate a lot, and listening to your explanation of the piece, you know, it occurs to me that it might be a fun way to get into the piece. Show some guy at a bar, you know, drinking, you know, his first gulp of a beer, and you know, we hear somebody say, your narration say, it's a long way from the brewery to here. It's a long way from a brewer's dream to this place. You know what I mean? And then we back into the piece. You know,
that's a good idea. Thank you.
You need somebody to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So volunteer.
Just
for beer. Beer.
I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
That's in time.
You got to buy for the whole group, okay?
Right.
All right. Well, let's back away.
I mean, there are a number of ways to get into it, but and again, this is how things come up. You know, you talk about these things, you kick ideas around, and people free associate. Ivan.
Okay, crazy question. That's good. Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your story about?
Okay, my story is about ethnic. Food, since in El Salvador, you know, the most popular food is the pupusas, you know, which are stuffed tortillas, you know.
Right.
They are stuffed with cheese or corn,
I mean,
meat and some other mixes. And it happens that in the U.S., the Hispanic community is composed by several groups from several countries.
Yeah.
So the Salvadorans are like the third biggest group inside the Hispanic community.
That's right.
So pupusas, you know, in big cities, you know, like Washington, New York, you know, Los Angeles, you know, are becoming very popular, like tacos, you know, like Mexican tacos.
Right.
And it happens that in here in Washington, you know, among the Hispanics, the biggest community are the Salvadorans. So how, you know, the pupusas from El Salvador, you know, are becoming popular in the U.S.
So you've contacted one guy here who runs his own pupuseria, right?
Yeah, and it seems that he's one of the guys that, because he puts a lot of effort, you know, mm-hmm. in making them delicious, you know.
Yeah.
Not just for the traditional Salvadoran taste.
Right.
But, you know, making them like vegetarian, for example, for the vegetarians here, right?
So he's adapted to the American market.
Yeah, so there are some other ethnic communities that go to eat pupusas, you know.
How much of the history of the Salvadoran's journey from there to here are you going to include in this piece? Because it's all about the Civil War there, which was partly, you know, partly funded by the United States, very much supported by the Reagan administration, that why Salvadorans are here because of the war.
Yeah, you know, that's a part that has to be included, you know, because a big part of the immigration, you know, from El Salvador back was because of that. You know?
Yeah, and then the Contra War in Nicaragua as well. Okay, good. And we got you. Who are we missing here? Chad?
Yeah.
And I think that's it, right? Just chat. Okay, go ahead.
I've got two that I've been pursuing and trying to nail down here. One is a friend that has organized this online community for the Obama campaign, opposing trying to avoid the physical cliff, the fight between the president and the Congress now, and how they've organized these army of volunteers across the country just using digital media, not even knowing the people in Washington downtown that have organized it. So that's one. The other is a guy who made a documentary on Lynn Bias, for ESPN and how he persevered for years to get this thing done, what drew him to the story, how he did it, and...
Tell us about Lynn Bias, please.
Lynn Bias was a rival of Michael Jordan. He died at age 22 over 20 years ago, and his death still provokes a lot of emotion in people. It basically says that one mistake can destroy your life. He overdosed of cocaine after being drafted from the University of Maryland to the Boston Celtics. And this was a time when the Lakers dominated everything, and Red Arbaugh, the owner of the Celtics, was going to build the whole team around Lynn Bias. And this guy's only dream in life, Lynn Bias, was to make the pros, and he made it, and then he OD'd on cocaine. And this was a time in our country when people were doing cocaine and they didn't know how damaging it was in the 80s. And it drastically reformed our drug laws, making them extra harsh, mandatory sentencing, which is terrible for our society. But anyways, those are, I feel like my two controlling ideas need focus. I have a general idea, but both of these characters have been hard rabbits to catch in a way because of their tricky schedules. And even this morning I got this thing moved back. I had the documentarian this afternoon and he pushed it till tomorrow. So anyways, I need to focus it, but those are two
controlling. Thoughts? Anybody? What do you think? What does he do?
Go with the people that you lock down easiest to get the project, so that you can learn the most and get the project done.
Yeah.
Go with the political people that you know where they're going to be. You have to face the story out of that, but
yeah,
you can get to them and they're not going to move around.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm interested in is that you guys learn the process. You know, you can learn the process. I can take you to a barbershop in Silver Spring where there's a really cool guy from West Africa. And, you know, I send students there all the time. His name is Oscar. He's very talkative. The place is filled with West Africans. He's very cool. And, you know, Obama pictures all over the place. All the guys come and speak different languages. You know, they're straight out of Africa. Oscar's always there. The barbershop never goes anyplace. It's always got people in there. You know, the story changes a little bit on Fridays and Saturdays. Kids are getting ready for, you know, for the next week or for going out on dates and so forth. You know, when big holidays come up, everybody's getting all shined up, you know, for the holidays. There's a sign on the front door that says, you know, come in ugly, leave beautiful, you know what I mean? Stuff like this, you know. That's who you go to learn the process. You know it's going to be there all the time. You know that they're going to welcome you. You know that they're going to be characters there all the time. You know, you don't have to, like, think, you know, organize an interview 5 days in advance and then have somebody cut you off. Oscar doesn't do that. He wants you to come in. He wants to be on YouTube. He wants to be on Vimeo. He wants all this stuff. He does. You know, he can't buy this kind of advertisement. So you've got to go with the safest thing that allows you to learn this process. That's what I'm concerned about. You want to go back and do a documentary on this guy? You want to be a 5-hour documentary? Go for it. But learn the process first. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Bruce. I mean, you should just take, you know, grab the secure thing now and learn the process. What I would do.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to do today is I want you to go out and I want you to build the visual foundation for your piece. Okay? Whether it's the brewery you go to, whether it's the office where these six people are hanging around doing their thing, whether it's, you know, the monument, whatever it is, or the market, walk up to the place, figure out what are the visually defining characteristics, shoot them. Start to fish for characters. Some of you already know who your character is going to be. Some of you, in your case, you don't know who the character is going to be. Start to fish around for characters. Find people through whose experience, you know, you can tell the story. Okay? Don't do sit-down formal interviews yet. We're going to cover that tomorrow morning. We'll cover lighting. We'll cover all of that stuff. Just, you know, do informal interviews if, in fact, the, you know, people around the market, you can talk to them. But you know, come back at 5 o'clock today with enough visual material to be able to explain, this is what this place looks like, this is what they do here, this is a person who I think is going to be a character, I'd like this person to be a character, give me a sense of what your story is about. Tomorrow we'll build on top of that.